Okay, the next presentation is by Carl Allen, and it is Search for Spring Deposits on Mars.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
That'll change. We have 3 minutes left.
Okay, thank you. I'm not one of Phil's students. I went to the other university in the state of Arizona. But I would like to say that in some of the work that I've been doing in the last 4 or 5 years, coming back into the field of Mars geology after a long time away, I have deeply appreciated the way Phil has organized, presented, and made available the incredible amounts of data from his various spectrometers in a way that that we can come in and rationally use all of these data without having to be experts in the field, but actually do the comparisons that lead to interesting geologic interpretations. And I thank you for that. Springs, important astrobiological sites. Life may have arisen in such settings on Earth. There's certainly a good deal of life in particularly the warm springs that we see now on Earth. Thermal springs supply energy and nutrient-rich waters in which life persists and continues to evolve, both on a microscopic and the macroscopic scale, like this in Yellowstone. And the mineralization associated with springs preserves physical and chemical biosignatures for long periods of geologic time. 1.5 billion-year-old hydrothermal ore deposits from northern Australia beautifully preserving all sorts of microorganisms, and this is certainly by no means the oldest such deposit on Earth. So springs have been a source not only of lots of research on Earth among the astrobiologists, but we've continued to search for spring deposits on Mars at increasingly fine scales and through a number of eyes, including the search for live warm spring deposits with the thermal spectrometers. Orbital imagery over decades of resolution and now culminating with the superb 28 centimeter resolution available through HiRISE, and then some of the discoveries of the MER rovers indicating possible evidence of past hot spring activity been found on the surface. Some of the recent things having to do with springs and water movement on the surface includes this work by Treiman in the last year and more recent publications about fault ridge traces, cemented and eroded, indicating possible near-surface groundwater movement. Area in Acidalia, the area that was discussed by Mike Wyatt earlier on, features hundreds of these small cone-like edifices, which have the spectral signature of palagonite, and may in fact be something like terrestrial mud volcanoes. Spirit Rover, dragging its wheel across the surface, dug up soil that was extremely high in silica, and one of the possible explanations here is that it was working in a region where hydrothermal alteration in the past was important. What I want to talk about is some work that we've been doing the last couple of years looking at a possible spring deposit that's really only apparent at full-res HiRISE. Looking in a Newaukian age 55-kilometer crater, not too far from the Opportunity site in southwest Arabia, crater that is now officially named Vernal. Vernal has 1,500 meters of sedimentary fill coming from the northern northwest corner down into the southeast area. Just keep that in your mind and think of it as hydraulic head. There is no evidence of volcanism in this area. This, by the way, is a Themis, thank you, Phil, daytime IR photo mosaic that's been inverted so it has generally the same brightness values as a visible image. Looking down into the end of the boxed area in more detail, near the deepest section of the crater, we see a series of generally northeast-southwest trending wind-blown units interpreted as dark basaltic sand. And we're going to be looking specifically in this small area. Notice things are getting small here. We're getting it to places where we really need high resolution. And here we're looking at a high-rise image of two features, each a couple of hundred meters across in this dark unit, trending again along the same northeast-southwest line. And we're going to be looking at these in considerable detail in the full-res high-rise. The westernmost mound, about 350 meters in length. We do not have a high-rise DEM at this point. We've asked for a second photograph here, haven't gotten it yet. But we do have several overlapping CTX images, and in using those, we're seeing that this thing is almost flat, but in fact positive, with positive relief of a few to a few tens of meters. The easternmost mound, a little bit larger, again, slight positive relief, meters to a few tens of meters. Notice the curved, almost ovoid outline of characterized both of these features. This is what caught our eye initially as we were looking at this image in increasingly better resolution, and these are unique looking features. We had never seen anything like this in the areas we've studied, but what you do see these on Earth. You see these in provinces where springs are abundant. In this case, in the Dalhousie Spring Mound Complex of Australia, generally along the same sort of line. These are fossil spring deposits with ovoid outlines that are that have been studied as fluid reaction fronts. This is a very nice picture from courtesy of Larry Crumpler of what we think that these mounds on Mars look like in cross-section. This is a travertine spring mound in Arizona that has been cross-sectioned by a river flow on essentially the same scale as our eastern mound, about 400 or 500 meters in width and tens of meters in height. This is what we believe that these things actually are. Looking in more detail on the west mound, we see toward the apex a series of generally parallel elevated terraces, which are reminiscent of the kind of terraced spring deposits that are common in many places around the world, classically in the Mammoth Hot Springs area of Yellowstone. Each one of these features is about the size of the Central Mammoth Complex. We see at full res a series, a small number of thin depressions that we interpret as continuing channels coming generally down slope as we understand the slopes to run, certainly from the high points up here down a few tens of meters. And of course, active channels are characteristic features of spring mounds in many parts of the world. And we see a number of sub-rounded depressions on these surfaces. Some of these may be impact craters. We certainly can pick out small impact craters on a number of spots here. But a lot of these just do not look like impact craters in full res high rise. They look like either the kinds of vent areas that are characteristic of active spring mounds, or possibly some sort of karst depression. What you see is all the data there are. Now the obvious question is, what are they made of? And people keep asking us that. You know, what is the mineralogy? We have exquisite mineral analyzers in orbit around Mars. This is right on the edge of that dusty area in Arabia Terra that was the focus of the last talk. There is a thin layer of dust that obscures the spectral signature over this particular crater. This is illustrated here in this CRISM data product that is specifically sensitive to dust, and the but it illustrates that even with the high spatial resolution and the exquisite spectral resolution of CRISM, we just can't pick out a spectral signature on these small features. They have enough dust to obscure the spectral features. They do not have enough dust to obscure the albedo differences. Water temperature, of course, we don't have a way of measuring this. There's no thermal signature that can be seen in THEMIS over these features. They are just too small. Certainly, springs on Earth, the temperatures of the water erupting do not exceed the local boiling point, and the local boiling point at this altitude and latitude on Mars is around about 10 degrees C. So these things are not. If they were ever hot springs, they weren't very hot. But pointing out that liquid water at any temperature would be hot with respect to the frozen Martian subsurface, at least the current temperature regime. So if these things were actually putting out liquid water at any time, it was hot with respect to its environment. Can we put an age on these things? As I said, there are certainly things that have the features of impact craters, though very small ones. This is a 30-meter scale bar here. But there are a few things that we would interpret as impact craters on these surfaces. Crater counting at this scale is a very dicey thing on Mars, and we are not willing to assign a cratering age here, partly because of the small numbers and partly because a number of the round things on these surfaces we believe to be endogenic rather than impact craters. So there's a lot of questions that are left, but we put these features out. Structure is an interesting thing. You know, there are tens of thousands of springs on Earth, and they are there where they are because of structural control that's affecting subsurface water flow. We see a lot of indications that there is prevailing northeast-southwest structure in the immediate area of these springs, and it shows up as boundaries between units. It shows up as strings of small features, tens of meters across. It shows up as strings of larger features, possibly hundreds of meters across. And certainly in many spring environments on Earth, you see alignments of positive relief features, tufa mounds, things of that sort, where water moving up near the surface along fault fracture planes, layer boundaries, gives alignments of features. This is very, very obvious through this whole area. Even further to the north, these larger features, our two little features, are right here. We put together a cross section running generally northwest, southeast across the area and coming very close to these mounds, coming downslope in this direction, and this is how we imagine it. A series of sedimentary layers at some dip, with aligned hills at the fracture planes or layer boundaries, and our spring mounds with their curved reaction fronts showing up at the edges. We asked the question, you know, are these things really unique? Are there other features that look like this that we just haven't seen because we haven't had the resolution to pick them out? So we did a quick study this summer looking at 2,000 areas where CRISM spectra had been published along with the associated context and high-rise images, and we did not find any areas where there were fully dust-free CRISM footprints that had features that closely resembled these. This work is certainly ongoing, and I invite people in the community to have this as another template of what a spring deposit might look like, and keep looking for them. Multiple lines of evidence that we see, particularly morphologically, for possible ancient springs. Spring mounds, if we can find them, are certainly of major astrobiological importance on Mars. And this is the type of a site, if it could be confirmed or if others could be confirmed with associated mineralogy, that would have a high priority for a future sample return mission. Thank you.
Time for a quick question or comment. Jack?
Carl, I've probably forgotten, but what is the smallest crater that can form currently on Mars due to the atmospheric effect? I thought it was about 30 meters, but nobody has an answer.
Your point is, are these too small?
Yeah. It's a reasonable question. I'm not going to attempt an answer to that one. We are certainly seeing craters during the traverses that are smaller than 30 meters. Yeah, they could be secondaries, and these could be secondaries too.
They don't even look like real craters.
So yeah, they may not be. Yeah.
All right, thank you, Carl. Yeah, thank you very much. All right, we have time for a 10-minute break. My co-chairman, Ron Greeley, will start promptly at 3:35, okay? The door will be locked. No one else will be allowed in because the bar will be... No, that's not right. Yeah. 10-minute break, okay?
Well done.